I'm going to do something a little different today. I noticed that during the first meeting, y'all pretty much stay awake, but in the second one, y'all fall asleep. So, nobody laughs around here. So, I'm going to be doing this basically because I think that it brings clarity to the text we're going to be looking at. And of course, as you can see, the text is, the message is actually called Man's Plan versus God's Purposes. Alrighty? So let's go to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs 16. And last week we were in New York doing an evangelistic outreach. What they did was they bought a synagogue and made it into an assembly. And what they wanted to do is have the neighborhood know that the assembly's there. It's not a synagogue anymore. So some of the people that actually came, we were able to take them inside and give them a tour and show them the new look, right? And during that time, we gave them tracts and we were able to witness to quite a number. They had about 27 people come. You know, normally you do something, nobody shows up, right? And so it was kind of exciting to see that many people actually show up. Of course, when you're in New York, everything's crowded. Right next to the building, there's homes and cars, and everywhere you look, it was just like an ant bed of people. So I couldn't wait to get out of there and breathe. It's just like everywhere, just cars and people and traffic all over the place. But it was a blessed time, and it was exciting to see their effort to try to reach people for the gospel and get people to come in over there. So anyway, let's look at the text, and then we're gonna break it down. Okay? Proverbs 16, verse 1. We're going to read the first 9 verses. Okay? It says, the plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives. Commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established. The Lord has made everything for his own purpose, even the wicked for the day of evil. Everyone who is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Assuredly, he will not be unpunished. By loving kindness and truth, iniquity is atoned for. And by the fear of the Lord, one keeps away from evil. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great income with injustice. The mind of a man plans his way, but the Lord directs his step. Amen. That's all we're going to read for now. And the Lord always blesses his word. This is a tremendous passage. And I don't know about you. Well, I do know about you because you're like I am. You made a lot of plans, right? You remember back, well, the young guys. I see other little ones. You already have plans in your mind. You may not be saying it, but you're already thinking, okay, when I get to a certain age, I want to do a certain thing, and then maybe I want to get married and have a job, and you're making all these plans, right? And then the college and career guys are already thinking, okay, I want to study this, and I want to do this, and have this living. And then, again, you go back to, but and I want to be married too. And that's normal, to want to be married. That's from God. And so we make our plans out. And so even right now, you might be thinking, oh, yeah, I do have plans. I've tried to lay them out, and I'm structured and organized. Or if you're like me, I just don't make plans. Just as things come into my lap, I do them. I'm not the long-term project kind of person, you know. It's like, let's just see what the Lord has for this year, and I'll bless him at the end of the year. Amen? You like that one? That's the way I work. I'm sorry if I'm not one of those longer term kind of a thing. But anyway, this is talking about our making plans, our vision, our dreams. And if you are a normal human being, which I think you are, right, then a lot of your dreams and plans have crumbled and fallen apart, right? Amen? You thought that things were going to be like this, and they didn't turn out that way. Okay? Isn't that true? And everybody can say, yes, I thought this was going to be like this, and it's not. See, I remember meeting with a couple. They wanted counseling, marital counseling, and I'm talking to the girl in particular, and she's really upset. And I'm like, why are you so mad? Because everything that I thought that our marriage was going to be, it didn't come out that way. So all of my plans have fallen apart. Okay? That's what this is talking about. Our plans, man's plans, and God's purposes. Okay? So now that I set the foundation, let's break down these verses. Okay. Now, first of all, my brother Doug is going to be writing some things down for me. So what I want you to do is write plans and ways. All right? Plans and ways. So man has a lot of plans and different ways. Okay? And I'll also put it right underneath here, works. Works. Okay, very good. So we see plan, ways, and works. All right, so that's good for now. Let's just unpack this one first. So if you notice the text, it says the plans of the heart belong to a man. All right? So in your heart, it doesn't matter if you're young or if you know, we are making plans. We have, you sit there at night and you daydream, right? And you picture this and you picture that, and the girls, you know, they're more romantic thinking. They're already thinking about this prince coming into their lives, right? And now then, the ones that have been married long enough say, yeah, what prince? What happened to the prince? But go ahead and dream. That's okay. Go ahead and dream. Right? And so we make plans. We make plans of work. We make plans of this and that and illusions. And that's the way of man, right? We make all these plans. And so, but notice what the text says, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Now, the word tongue here, what it means is that what's in your heart comes out of your mouth. Or another way of saying it is that the end result is from God. Okay? So, what you're going to put right here is the answer's from the Lord. All right? And so, little by little, this is going to unfold and it'll make more sense. The answer is from the Lord. And I asked Doug to write for him because my writing is really sloppy and doesn't look good. So we have a little board like this at home. And what we do is we put verses on the thing. And every time I write it, my girls erase it and they rewrite it the right way because it looks so sloppy. So thank you for helping me, brother. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Okay, so notice this. And what this is going to do is going to help you with a lot of your frustrations. Because you look at life and you say, I thought this and I thought that, and I'm really frustrated. And God says, it's because I have a purpose. See, every plan that you make, especially as a believer, has to fall into my purposes for your life, my overall purpose, and then my more immediate purpose for you. And so you have to understand that with all of your planning, everything going on in your heart, all those illusions, all those things that you're thinking, that you're laying out, has to fall in line with my ultimate purposes. And so if you have found yourself planning and thinking and laying things out, and a lot of them haven't come true, many times God overrides, and that's what we're talking about here, God's sovereign purposes. He overrides our plans because they have to fall in line with God's purposes. So the answer is from the Lord. So if I could put it another way, the Lord will eliminate a lot of your plans because they didn't fall into His plans and purposes. Okay? So if you're frustrated because a lot of things haven't fallen into place like you thought, you can take comfort this morning and say, okay, that's good because God in His sovereign purposes knows better than to allow that plan that I can conjure up in my mind to actually take place. Aren't you glad for that? That we have a wise God who has sovereign control over everything, and He's saying, no. That plan is goofy. Didn't mean to put it that way. Or that plan is ridiculous. Or that plan is for your glory, not for mine. I don't like it. It's not going to happen. Give it up. And so what happens? We get frustrated. But why not? This is a good plan. But God has the answer at the end. All right. Secondly, look at verse 2. All the ways of man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motive. Wow, look at that one. So, now we're going to put on here the ways of man. Okay? That's one head. Very good. Number 2. The ways of man, which is, you look at your life, you look at your plans, you look at what you're doing, and you're like, you know what? I think this is pretty good. I think that this ministry is going to glorify God. I think that this is going to be good. It's going to bring glory to God. But the Lord says this. Okay, Ray, I'm looking at your ways, and in your own sight, that's good. But I'm looking at behind that, I'm looking at your heart, and I'm looking at your motive, and I don't like your motive. I don't like your motive. I'm looking at it, I'm weighing your motives, and your motives are for your glory. It's for some kind of purpose of yours, but not for mine. And so what this is saying is, before you get too frustrated with God, you got to realize that God is weighing your motives. And that's why He doesn't allow your plans and your ways and your works to always unfold as you think. Or sometimes He does, but He doesn't like what you're doing. All right, now if someone would go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5, would you read that please out loud? Because we're considering all the ways of man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motive. Okay? So, brother, while somebody's looking that up, you can put on there, the Lord weighs the motive. Or you can put, looks at motives. And make it shorter and easier for you.
1 Corinthians 4, 5.
Yes, 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5. Go ahead, brother.
Therefore, judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God.
Okay, mine says the motives of the heart, the counsels of the heart. So, many times, Paul is saying, don't judge anybody, because you know, you're talking about the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to give account to the Lord. And in everything we're doing, God is looking at your heart and the motives of your heart. And many times what we have to do is we have to examine our heart and say, Lord, as I'm doing this ministry, Lord, as I'm allowing this in my life, as I'm making these plans, I need you to check my motives, because I want to make sure that my motives aren't selfish, that my motives are for my glory, that my motives aren't going to damage me. And so that's what this is saying. We plan, and we have ways and works that we want to do. The ways of man in your own eyes are clean. But then it says, but the Lord is looking at your motives. He knows you even better than you know yourself. And sometimes you do have to go before God and say, God, I need to examine my plans and my ways and see if the motives are correct. And sometimes even then, you can't see that your motives probably aren't that great. But you bring it before the Lord and say, Lord, I want you to check my motives, because I know that at the end, when I'm before you to give account on that day, you're going to look at my motives, not what I did, but the motive behind what I did, and then I'm going to get my praise from you. All right, so the Lord weighs the motives. All right, so what is your work? What is your work? Your desire, what you want to accomplish, who do you want to marry, how do you want to serve the Lord, how many children do you want, and all of that. Those are your plans, your ways, your works, the ways of man. Okay? Now notice the answer, the next answer, and brother, you can put under committed to the Lord. Just put committed to the Lord. Okay, number 3. Committed to the Lord. That's verse 3. As you can see, commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established. And so basically, it's a play of words. Plans, ways, work. So the plans you're making out, the way you're living out your life, the work you're doing, your heart's motives, all your dreams, your illusions, all of that, bring it before the Lord. All right, and then you could say, but it's clean. But when you say, Lord, is it really clean? Are my motives right? The Lord will reveal to you, because He knows your motives, and make sure your motives are right, as you're doing all of this, is it going to bring glory to the Lord? Because God's purposes are going to be accomplished, right? And He knows your motives. And so here's my plans, here's my ways. Now I commit it to you, Lord. If it's from you, then bless it. Okay? If it's from you, bless it. All right, for example, I was telling somebody, I just put a bid on a house yesterday. And then my wife and I prayed and we said, Lord, this is our plan. This is what we think would be good. Now, we commit it to you in prayer. And if it's from you, then bring your blessing. You know that the house that we're picking is not for our glory, but we want to use it for you, for your service. And we think this is serviceable. What do you think, Lord? If it's from you, you're going to work it out. And so, the plans, the ways, the works, the ways of man, you take all of that and you commit it to the Lord. All right? Now, notice then, and your plans will be established. So, three. Right. You could put under, the Lord will bless those that are that gain His approval. So figure out how to write that in better ways. Look at that poor guy. I put him under pressure, don't I? Okay. The Lord will bless the approved plans. That sounds good.
Bad.
Yeah, okay. The Lord gives approval. It's very good. Very good. Teamwork.
Amen.
All right. So the Lord gives the approval of the plan. Okay? So here's the way I look at it. I work with a friend who's a house builder. Once in a while he wants me to help him out. I go down there, and what they do is they take the plans. Here's the house, here's what we want, and they take it to the planning committee because they have to get approval. Here's what we want. What do you think? He goes, no, that's not good. That's going to cause a leak. That's not good. That's going to cause a crack in the foundation. That's not good. That's going to cause a overload in the electrical work. You have to change that and change that and change that. And you can't build your house until you get this fixed. So the architect goes and redoes it, brings it. What do you think? Okay, approved, right? And so that's what this is talking about. The same thing. So we go to God, city council, if you will, for approval. He weighs the motive of the heart. He balances it out with His sovereign purposes. And that which meets His approval will be established. Now, I want you to notice Proverbs 19 and verse 21. And underline it, memorize it, circle it in your Bible, whatever you want to call it. Do it. All right? Now, notice. Many are the plans in a man's heart. Isn't that true? Man or woman? I think more in women. Women dream more and plan more, right? But that's just my assumption. But the way, you know, the Bible said, live with your wife in an understanding way. I'm trying to understand her. And it's like, man, you have a lot of plans, right? Okay. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord, it will stand. So we went to the city council. Do I get your approval or not? And if they don't put the approval, guess what? You're not building. You're not. You can shout, scream, pout, do all kinds of things. If they don't put the approval, you're not building. I don't know if you knew that or not. You're at their mercy. Okay? So, that's exactly what this is saying. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord, it will stand. See, God is the one that gives you approval or not. Okay? Wow, tremendous. Let's go on to, we're going to go to verse 4 in a minute, but we're going to go on to verse 7. Verse 7, when a man's ways, there it goes again, when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, He even makes His enemies to be at peace with Him. Okay, so now number 4, his ways again. And why don't we put lifestyle. Overall lifestyle. Okay, so you have plans and ways, and according to your own understanding, they're good, right? A man thinks his plans are good, they're cleaning his own mind, but the Lord weighs your motives. Then you commit it to the Lord for his approval. Remember, Proverbs 19:21. Do you approve of God? That's what's going to matter. And then the Lord, after God does that, and then you're living it out, he says, when you're approved by the Lord, living out his plan for your life, then even your enemies will say, God is with this man. God is with this woman. God is involved in their life. I can see it. And even those people who are your enemies will have to say, there's something about them, and they'll treat you with a certain amount of respect. But when your ways are right, your enemies will be at peace with you. When you're right with God, you're going to be right with man. When you're right with God, you're going to be right with man. Okay? So this is a very important principle also. Okay? So notice that when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, then he works it out so that the men can see that he's with you. Okay? So number four would be he makes your path peaceful. Makes path peaceful. Okay, so God gives you a gracious spirit so that you can behave and respond in kindness with those who are difficult to tolerate. And as you're doing that, your lifestyle is being approved by God, then he makes your path peaceful. All right? And so then notice, having said that, notice verse 9. The mind of man plans his way. There he goes again. Okay, so now what he says is, okay, you have a heart motive. Your heart has all these desires, all these plans that it makes, all these things. And then from the heart, it shoots up to your mind, and your mind and heart work together. Okay? So your overall person makes plans, but the Lord directs his steps. Okay? So, you're going by verse 9. Put on there, again, the plans of man. The plans of man. And then right here, the same verses. God directs it. Okay, God directs, notice, according to his sovereign purposes. All right? So again, man's plan, the way you're thinking, right? You are what you think. Isn't that what they say, right? Watch how you think. So Lord, this is what I'm thinking. Direct my path. And he will. The Lord's going to direct your path. Your mind's going to think out all kinds of plans. And the Lord's going to direct it according to his sovereign purposes. All right? So that's why we have man's plans, God's purposes. So as you are making your plans, you're having your dreams, you're laying out your life, you're thinking of what you want, all right, you're going to take all of this and say, okay, Lord, now I'm going to have to submit all of this to your sovereign purposes, and whatever fits it and is right, bless it, whatever is it, you're going to eliminate it. I'm going to accept then from your hand that some of my plans weren't good. Okay? All right, so now this is pretty much the part for Christians. Go back to chapter 16. Ooh, we only have 5 minutes. We'll be quick. All right, now we can put a little line right here across, and then everything is for God's purposes. And I'm going to be quick in this, and I'll be finishing in about 7 minutes. Everything is for God's purposes. Everything for his purpose, if you want to put it that way, or God's purpose, yeah. Now, I want you to notice how interesting this text. All right, after we've seen this, the plans, the ways we committed, the lifestyle, your man's thinking, notice what he says in verse 4. The Lord has made everything for his own purpose. Notice, even the wicked for the day of evil. Wow. Even the wicked. So what does this tell you about God? That God is in sovereign control of the whole universe. And not only of the whole universe, but of your life and your plans. And he's the one that approves or disapproves of your plans and your dreams and your whatever, right? And then he goes, not only that, but the wicked who don't acknowledge him, every one of them are under God's sovereign purposes and plans as well. All right? And so, for example, Pharaoh. Pharaoh's the great king of Egypt, right? And he defied God, so God sends Moses. And every one of those plagues were to show that he was greater than him. And yet, oops, I'm getting touched by someone. And yet, even though he was doing that, the man never would repent and turn to God. And God says, okay, you don't have to repent. I'm going to use your stubbornness to show the world how great I am. So even man's hardness is for God's purposes. Now, what about the Pharisees? What about the Pharisees? They said to Jesus, you're a demon. Everything you do, you're doing in the power of a demon. And they rejected the Lord Jesus. But then Acts chapter 4 says that God, all of these, I just have to read this one real quick. Go to Acts chapter 4 and verse 27. I want to word it the way the Bible says it, because it says it better than I ever could. Okay. Acts 4 and verse 27. For truly in this city they were gathered together against the holy servant Jesus, whom thou didst anoint, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and all the peoples of Israel. Notice, to do whatever thy hand and thy purpose predestined to occur. Wow. All right? And so we have the Pharisees. We have Pontius Pilate representing the Romans. We have the Jewish people. All these people come together and they reject Jesus. But they said that everything that happened, God was directing it, all of that rejection, for God's sovereign purposes was to bring redemption to man. Through that rejection, God never lost control. So even the wicked fall unto the sovereign purposes of God. Everything, even the wicked, are for him. And then I'm going to conclude in the last 5 minutes in Isaiah 45. Turn there with me real quick. What a powerful portion of God there. And this study goes longer, but y'all are ready to eat. And you look tired, and so we're going to end in 5 minutes flat. All right? Now, as you know, God had already, even before it happened in Isaiah, already predicted and prophesied that they were going to be taken to Babylon, and 150 to almost 200 years down the line, he's already saying through Isaiah that King Cyrus was going to return them to Jerusalem. And I want you to read it with me, Isaiah 45, verse 1. Thus says the Lord to Cyrus, his anointed. Now notice, he calls him his anointed. Isn't that interesting? Right? Whom I have taken by my right hand. They've taken King Cyrus. Hopefully you know enough about the Old Testament to know who King Cyrus was, king of Persia. Right? To subdue nations before him and to loose the loins of kings. To open doors before him so that the gates will not be shut. I will go before you to make a rough place smooth. I will shatter bronze doors, or doors of bronze, or and cut through their bars. That's when Persia destroyed Babylon and cut through the iron bars. So, prophecy. And I will give you the treasures of darkness. Yeah, he was one of the richest kings ever, with other treasures that he was able to plunder. And hidden wealth of secret places, in order that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who calls you by your name. He's talking to Cyrus. For the sake of Jacob, my servant, and Israel, my chosen one, I have also called you by your name, and I have given you a title of honor. Though, notice, and I want you to notice this, though you have not known me. Whoa. Whoa. He's God's anointed, doing God's plans and purposes. God made him rich and gave him power for the purposes of Israel, even though he never knew him. Verse 5, I am the Lord, and there is no other, and besides me there is no God. I will gird you, though you have not known me. Wow. that men may know from the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun that there is no one beside me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. So God takes then the evil man, a man, Cyrus, who's the king of Persia and has tremendous power and authority, has tremendous riches according to God's sovereign purposes. He's looking 150 or so years ahead already. He already knew his name. He goes, and you are created, even though you don't know me. You're not saved for my purposes. Everything you're doing is for me. The riches I gave you are so that you can give money to my people so they can return. So you're under my sovereign purposes, Cyrus, period. And you're my anointed, and you're doing exactly what I want you to do. Wow. If that doesn't blow your mind, what does? Okay, so, thus, man's plans, God's purposes. Everything is for God's purposes, even the wicked. Even the wicked. Let's just conclude there. There's a lot more, but we're going to leave it there. Okay? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you are in sovereign control, and we commit every one of our plans, our desires from our heart and mind, everything, Lord, into your hands. For your approval, according to your sovereign purposes, we do this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, brother.